from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
John Sally.
Now back to Steiny and Guru, live from the Hilton Santa Clara, as training camp is underway.
All right, it is football season officially.
Yeah.
49ers having their first practice as we speak at Levi Stadium. Quick update, Brandon Ayuk is in the house, but he is in civilian clothes and he's not practicing. And Trent Williams also has not showed up, or at least no one sees him out on the practice field. We'll find out more about that probably.
I'm gonna give you a quick nugget on that. Zero guaranteed dollars left on Trent Williams' deal. You do with that what you will, but to me, that's why my man is not here.
Yeah, we'll probably find out more later in the day once practice is over and Shanahan talks to the media. And I know we're down in Santa Clara talking about the San Francisco 49ers, but something real interesting has come across our desk, if you will. And it's a story from Mark Spears of Anscape. And he talked to Steph Curry either earlier today or yesterday. And the subject was about finishing up his career with the Warriors. And Mark Spears was talking to him about the importance of staying with the team for his entire career, if that's the way it goes. Yeah. And I want to read you this quote because it's from Steph Curry. This is Steph Curry.
Oh, this is new.
Just moments ago, actually. It just dropped. And he's talking about wanting to be a Warrior for life and all that entails. Here we go. It's tough, right? I've always said I want to be a Warrior for life. At this stage in my career, I feel like that's possible. And you can still be competitive. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win the championship. It doesn't mean winning. Winning is always a priority, but obviously you're realistic. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen if you stay the course. You need to shake things up and keep reimagining what it looks like to evolve with what the league is at right now, with where some of these talented teams are right now. Steph Curry, again, I'm taking it one step at a time, to be honest. I think that's the only way that will protect my happiness. Also, it allows me to enjoy being myself when I'm out there playing, and I'll continue to make the decisions that are best for me and for my career at the end of the day. I'm sorry, for my career. At the end of the day, when it comes to just the imagination, I want to win. Let's put it this way. It's a long-winded way of saying that if it is a situation where you're a bottom feeder and it's just because you want to stay there, I'd have a hard time with that. But I don't think that's going to be the reality. The bottom line is, this is very one step further to me than things in this league change quickly. This is Steph Curry basically saying, if you're a bottom feeder, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. And he mentioned decisions. He mentioned honesty. I'm not mad at the chef, Stani, but this, as you talked about the other day, an iceberg. There are two timelines now. Steph Curry's timeline, and can Joe Lacob and company get the team back to prominence? And the other part of that, Stani, you tell me what you think of this. It's obvious. You don't make the playoffs. You're a bottom feeder for that season in the West. But those are chilling words from the chef. And it's not an earthquake, but it's a tremor. And from my vantage point, you couldn't pull the deal on Paul George. You tried. Now I understand why they were in on marketing. I don't know where that stands. But the reality daily is coming that Steph Curry wants to win. He still feels like he has something left. But what's around him is kind of eroding. And he talked about the state of the league. Stani, there's long athletic wings everywhere. They don't have a lot.
Yeah, we can go in any direction right now. Man. Because there's a hell of a lot going on. You guys all know the number, 888-957-9570. Let me just emphasize this last part of the Steph Curry quote. Steph Curry had this to say earlier today or late last night. He's over in Paris right now. Mark Spears ran him down, and he was talking about his career with the Warriors and how it may or may not end up. Steph Curry, let's put it this way. It's a long-winded way of saying that if it's a situation where you're a bottom feeder and it's just because you want to stay there, I would have a hard time with that. But I don't think that's going to be the reality. Well, right now, the Golden State Warriors, I should say last year, finished 10th in the Western Conference. All right? Is that a bottom feeder? No, I wouldn't say it's a bottom feeder. They won 46 games. But I think we got to acknowledge the possibility exists that maybe the Golden State Warriors won't be a contender next year. And what Curry's saying essentially is, if we're not very good, I would have a problem with staying in Golden State.
And,
and
if you don't make moves, it feels like, you tell me if I'm wrong, Stani, if you feel content with where you're at, that's another problem. You're a wordsmith. This just popped in my dome. You tell me if it's too strong. For what you just read, Stani, I felt like that was an ultimatum. If we're a bottom feeder and you're okay with it, I have a problem with that. Basically, like, you need to get on the move and we need to get better, but they're running out of time and options.
Yeah, I mean, look,
how I took that, man.
Well, and I think Steph Curry is unbelievably smart, and he knows the Warriors situation, and he knows darn well that it is going to be very hard, if not virtually impossible, to get this team back to a championship level in a year or two. I think he knows that. I think what he's saying is, yeah, I get you can't win every year, but I got to be on a team that has a chance. I got to be on a team that's competitive. But if this thing turns into we're a bottom feeder, I'd have a big problem with that. So,
don't you understand? Oh, go ahead.
888-957-9570 is the number. As I always like to do when I talk to fans, what do you make of what you just heard Steph Curry say about his future with the Golden State Warriors?
You just want to talk basketball, don't you?
That's the greatest.
Hey, Spadoni.
That's McCaffrey, Mr. McCaffrey.
This was actually brought to my attention by the boss, who said, we got to talk about this because, well, it's Steph Curry. And my question to Warrior fans, and I know how a lot of Warrior fans will feel, oh, big deal, this is nothing. And if you think it's nothing,
could be wrong.
That's fine.
Nah.
That's fine. But I'm asking you, when you hear something like this, does it worry you as a Golden State Warrior fan? And I'll summarize it one more time, because I think the end of this quote is the
money part.
Yeah, let's put it this way, said Steph Curry. It's a long-winded way of saying that if it's a situation where you're a bottom feeder and it's just because you want to stay there, I'd have a hard time with that. But I don't think that's going to be the reality. Well, we'll see. We'll
and,
see.
And who was that directed at? I know who it was directed at. If you want to stay there, that's a choice. If you're rebuilding or we're not going to add, it now has me, Stani. We went back and forth. They tried to get the Paul George done, and it makes all the sense in the world to appease Steph. They're trying to do something with marketing. Even if you don't agree with it, my man, he is E.F. Hutton. When he talks, everybody listens, and those words, some could deem it, if you wanted to tell me, chilling. But, Stani, they are, what I'm afraid of is what they need is not out there.
Or what they need, they can't get.
And
one of the reasons, of the reasons they won't be able to get this thing right for Steph Curry fast enough is because they won four titles. They paid everybody under the sun. They've got to get their salary situation in order. And it's just unrealistic to think that that's going to happen in the next year or two.
Wow, man.
But interesting words from Steph Curry. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's head out to Gene. Gene's in Oakland.
Our guy.
What do you want to talk about today, Gene? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. But I actually initially called about the Niners, but I don't mind addressing what Curry just said. Actually, I'm kind of encouraged by what he said. I think that he's basically, he's saying unless you're going to do a full rebuild, he's on board if we're in the playoffs or at least vying for the playoffs and we're a good team. Sounds like he's willing to ride it out. Okay, now that's not to say, because I was fearful before that he really wanted that fifth ring so badly that if the opportunity presented itself to go elsewhere to get that ring, that he would bolt in a minute. And now I don't know. I'm not so sure, and I don't know where he'd go anyway. So no, I feel relatively encouraged. I think that was very reasonable for him to say. I'm also hopeful that if somehow we do become, or at least get closer to being a contender and we can get some real talent, that he's willing to maybe take a little less than the 60 to 70 million that everybody's talking about him probably getting for another year's extension. Anyways, I feel actually pretty good about the whole thing.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, he it was vintage Curry.
Yeah.
He
wants some things done, but can you go get those items? Just like you put it a second ago. Can you go?
Probably not.
And that's what's scary.
Honestly, it's not an opinion. They're in a tricky spot with their salary cap right now. I mean, I'm kind of with Gene because he did say, look, I don't have to win a championship to fulfill my career. Mm-hmm. And my goal isn't, well, I got to win two or three more. But what he is saying is, I want to be in the mix. I want to make the playoffs.
Hell yeah.
I want to know we have a chance to win a title.
I want to be competitive.
If we're a bottom feeder, no, then I don't want to be here.
And last year qualifies to me as a bottom feeder when you're not in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if it does or not. I don't know if he's talking about a 46-win team, a 36-win team, a 26-win team, what he considers a bottom feeder. But I do know that heading into the year, I think these questions are going to come more frequently to Steph. He's going to have to answer more and more of them. And I don't think there's any doubt this is a situation that the fans and Warriors ownership, they got to monitor this situation, and they've got to know Steph Curry's temperature over the next couple years. And to me, the next interesting date's going to be in about 2 weeks when Steph Curry's up for a one-year extension at 60-plus million.
August 6th.
And do the Warriors just offer it, and does he just take it? I'd be surprised if he doesn't, but maybe he doesn't because he wants to leave himself an out at the end of next year.
Do you
maybe
have a problem with me or any other Warrior fan recycling this line in regard to Curry? There are two timelines, Donnie.
What do you mean?
The Curry timeline and the Warriors timeline.
I mean, I don't think so because we use the two timelines. I feel like we're talking about championships. But he's letting you know that as long as they're competitive, he wants to be here. So all they got to do is stay competitive.
But they didn't make the playoffs. Forget the number of wins. They didn't make the playoffs. Right. That's not competitive to me. I don't believe Curry looks at that like, Steinie, that counts. That constitutes as a bottom feeder to me.
Well, I mean, that's what we don't know. Yeah, I can't.
I think that was his version of an ultimatum, man. That's just how I feel, and that's why they were in on Paul George. That's why they'll be on in on Matt Nahegan, Tim, whoever can help them get better. But it's what the Warriors are willing to part with, Steinie. And if it's Pods or Kuminga, you know, that shouldn't be a question anymore. It's like, who are we trying to get to add to Steph and Dre and the rest of the gang?
This from the Xfinity mobile text line from the 510. You guys are reading too much into it. When the Warriors start winning, no one knew that they would win. So you don't know what's coming up next year with the guys, they have. He's just saying, I want to be competitive, and that's my thought all the time. Just to be competitive, and if you're competitive, you got an opportunity to win a championship. Yeah, I don't think we're reading too much into it. We're defining what a bottom feeder is. I actually would disagree with Goo a little. I don't think he thinks last year they were a bottom feeder. I mean, they won 46 games. Everybody thinks they would have won 50 if Draymond doesn't get suspended. So clearly, a 50-win team isn't a bottom feeder. But only Steph knows what he means by bottom feeder. Only Steph knows. But 888-957-9570 is the number, 925 on the Xfinity mobile text line. It sounds like Steph is okay with staying so long as he's got a puncher's chance. I kind of agree with that. I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Puncher's chance.
He just doesn't. It's clear he doesn't want to go into obscurity. I mean, he doesn't want to be on a team like the Warriors team he arrived to 15 years ago. That's what it sounds like to me.
Or at home watching his counterparts, his peers, show off their greatness on TNT nightly and ESPN over the weekend, and he has no playoff games.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. A lot going on. We are at the Hilton Santa Clara. It's day one of 49ers training camp. There's news all over the place about that. Brandon Ayuk is at the practice field, but he's not practicing. Trent Williams has not been seen, and we're trying to find out a little more on that, which I'm sure we'll have later on in the show. In about an hour or so, I believe we're going to be joined by at least Bonte Hill, but maybe Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. They are watching 49er practice right this minute, and just for a little icing on the cake, Steph Curry with an interesting quote about his future as a Warrior, essentially saying, as long as we're competitive, I'll be okay with things, but if we're a bottom feeder, essentially all bets are off. Is there any shock value in that? Not so sure. What do you think? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Bill. Bill's in San Jose. So are we, Bill. Well, not really. We're in Santa Clara. Never mind.
Go Niners. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
I've been waiting for Steph to sort of say something for a long time. I mean, you sort of contrast him with LeBron, who was always pushing to get the championship, was switching teams all the time. Now Steph has set some limits on what he's willing to do. I think it is an ultimatum. Let's say after the first 3 weeks of the season, the Warriors are like on the bottom. I mean, I could see a big trade, and the Warriors would go into a rebuild mode. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you're more in tune with Guru, but I and I'll be doing this for a minute or two over the course of the show. 415, I tuned in thinking I'd hear about Niners training camp. Why am I hearing about Curry? Well, one of the reasons you're hearing about Curry is because Curry talked to Mark Spears of Anscape, and essentially talked about his future as a Golden State Warrior and whether he's going to end up retiring here or not. And he said it depends. He doesn't want to be a part of a team that doesn't have a chance to win.
And
as long as they're competitive, he feels like he probably wants to be here, but the reality of the Warriors situation, I think, is starting to set in to not just the fans, but the staff.
I have a question for you. Put yourself in Curry's shoes. If you want management to do something and you know they tried, but yet they couldn't get it done, do you feel better knowing at least they tried? Or the bottom line is, you didn't give me any effing help. I don't want to hear how close you came. I do wonder if that matters.
I got it. And this is where I give Steph all the credit in the world. He's been in the league 15 years. He's got to know exactly the situation they're in. Mm. He knows what this second apron is. He knows they've paid the luxury tax bill for years. He knows that they've got to start to transition at some point. He also knows they just can't go sign Giannis for peanuts. So I think he's very realistic about the situation, and I think the last caller was right. You go to training camp with a few new players, you see if the dynamic changes, and you see if you can be a better team than last year. If you're a better team than last year, I don't think there's anything to worry about if you're a Golden State Warrior fan. I think the next thing to look for is August 6th.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing that would, now looking at it from this point of view, is if Steph Curry doesn't sign that one-year contract extension, then you'd have to ask why not.
Yeah.
And the only answer I could possibly conceive of why Steph Curry would turn down $63 million 3 years from now is because he would want to give himself the opportunity to become a free agent, not at the end of this year, but at the end of next year.
Donnie, that's 100, as the kids say. I don't know how anybody else could use different math and come up with something else, but that's it. So I know you're going to laugh here or scoff, but that's a big day for me. Like, we should wake up and by midday know that he exercised that option. If not, then you know he's playing chess.
Well, it's the Warriors.
That's a lot of
ultimately
money,
it's still their decision. They've got to offer him that extension, or he's got to say he wants it and they say fine, or they say, well, you know what? The scenario I can't see is Curry saying, I want to sign that 1 year extension, and the Warriors saying, you know what? Let's hold off on that. That one doesn't make sense. But I could see, in a crazy way, after hearing what I just heard Curry say, maybe he is thinking, you know what? I'll give myself a little out here at the end of the 25-26 season in case we're bottom feeders. I'm kind of with this guy. 408, and this is the part where I know it's going to sound harsh, but it is part of the equation. Wouldn't it be partly Curry's fault if the Warriors end up being bottom feeders? I mean, he's still the best player on the team.
Yeah, but I'm the main reason we got four chips. You got to look at the totality of everything.
But this clearly,
if you don't want to hear this, Donnie, but they're paying the Warriors August 6th if he takes that money for what I've done. We can all see it's not about what you're about to do. You're still great, but we're on the back nine, bud.
Yeah, I guess what this caller's saying, well, that's the point, is he is on the back nine.
But it usually works that way. Kobe did it. They gave him
money. Actually usually doesn't work that way. Very few guys end their careers with the same team. I mean, and that's what he's saying he wants to do, but the Warriors are going to have to live up to their end of the bargain on some of this stuff, I think. 888-957-9570 is the number. Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson with you. We are in Santa Clara, and we are adjacent to Levi Stadium, where the 49ers are holding their first practice. Brandon Ayuk, he is on the practice field, but not practicing. He's in civilian clothes, as they say.
Wow.
Trent Williams. Nobody's seen Trent Williams.
Nobody's seen him.
Hopefully we'll find out more about his situation as the day goes on. And we're going to get back into the 49ers on the other side, because there's still a lot of Kyle Shanahan sound to play that I find very interesting. But hey, you know it, guys. It's your show as much as ours. 888-957-9570. You want to talk about Steph Curry? Daryl the Guru Johnson thinks it's some kind of an ultimatum. I think it's very interesting at the very least. 888-957-9570. Hey, listen, stop by the Hilton Santa Clara today for a tailgate starting at 4 p.m. We got Rexon against Chelsea. That's right, at Levi Stadium. Food from the tailgate truck. Favorite ice cold beers. Top DJs are providing music. It starts 3 hours before the game. That's 4 o'clock, and it'll be going on 1 hour after that soccer game at Levi Stadium. One more time, 888-957-9570. That segment brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Now back to Steiny and Guru, live from the Hilton Santa Clara, as training camp is underway.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. We are in Santa Clara at the Hilton Santa Clara, where there's a lot going on for sure. Rexon plays Chelsea tonight at 7. The 49ers right now practicing at Levi Stadium. It's their first practice of training camp. Brandon Ayuk is here, but he's not participating. And as far as we know, Trent Williams is not here. He's not here. And hopefully we'll get more clarity on that in the next hour or so when we're joined by Bonte Hill, who is going, he was attending practice right now, Goo. But yeah. Joe Spadoni is back manning the studio.
Spadoni.
He just made us aware of a little soundbite from Aqib Talib, who used to play for the Denver Broncos.
Bad
and
boy.
He was asked about Brandon Ayuk and his situation. And
oh,
Goo, I think this is going to be right up your alley. Take
oh,
a listen.
I thought he was hating.
No. Well, he was on one guy.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy. His
Brandon Ayuk is your top as a top three receiver?
Man, he's just his. I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player and his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed. He can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, oh, he'll go crazy.
Wow. I would have stopped him when he said, if you get him with a real quarterback.
Well, that she did. Well, I mean, man, that is, let's hope they're not writing the checks for Brock Purdy. I don't think you get 50, 60, Steiny. I've said it. That's coming from a guy that's played and studied the game. He was damn good on the defensive side of the ball. I echo those same sentiments, and you're right. He's not in that system, but if you put him in Dallas, if you put him in Cincinnati, I think he could put up or duplicate CeeDee Lamb type numbers. That's just what I think of Ayuk. So again, he'll never be able to do that in this offense. I get it. I think what's eating Adam Steiny is at least pay me like you know I can. And maybe they can't, and we'll find out where this thing goes. But I do know, Steiny, he's not out there practicing. I just can't wait to see how this ends up.
It's funny how
real quarter.
No, yeah, that's the part. I mean, if you want to call Brandon Ayuk a top three receiver, okay, that's fine. He's
okay.
Probably the discussion's out there. Is he top five? Is he top 10? Okay. Talib thinks he's top three. But you get him with a real quarterback? I mean,
wow, man.
I don't know
disrespect.
That there's any more disrespect for a guy like Brock Purdy than that. I mean,
the only thing about Purdy is he doesn't look like he was made in a lab. Justin Herbert looks like he was made in a lab and done diddly squat. Trevor Lawrence, they look like the Picasso at the quarterback position. Steiny, and they haven't done nothing.
I mean, according to Aqib Talib, the 49ers are about to pay probably at the end of the year $50 million to not a real quarterback.
Man.
I mean, that to me is a little
bit. Can I say something to you, though, that's real quick that just came over me?
Yeah.
That sound, not that he's changed my mind. I'm a real one. We all have opinions. But it goes back to you saying, maybe Kyle needs to see more. Not that Kyle's saying that, because that is too strong. That's a double shot of vodka. I'm just saying, maybe, is there something to Kyle saying, Brock, you got to prove more, but I don't know what that more would be if I've taken you to a Super Bowl. I've wrecked my elbow and come back and take you to a Super Bowl, and prior to that, I took you to an NFC Championship game on the fly. Like, what
win,
more?
Win one. That's, I mean, that's,
but we all got to win one. Coach, you could have done some things better, too.
Okay. Well, but
that's
but,
all. That's that.
But Shanahan like, isn't coming up for a contract
Jimmy,
extension.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy is.
Jimmy got blamed for that Super Bowl loss in 19. This one, Brock didn't have his best day, but he damn sure didn't lose you the game, partner.
No, but he damn sure didn't win it like the other guy. 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, we are in Santa Clara, 49ers first practice of training camp. Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. I want to play a little more of this Kyle Shanahan sound, Joe Spadoni from the TK show. And I want to start at the top because this is actually very interesting and we haven't even brought it up yet.
All right.
We're going to go to number 92, Spadone, number 92, and you'll never guess who Kyle Shanahan asked to join him on his staff. Take a listen.
I did. I threw it out to him. Just to, I mean, he loves football so much that you never know what he would. I mean, I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. So I threw it all out to him. Like, whatever he'd want to
do. DC?
Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down. But I think he's helping out his son a little bit. I know he's involved in Washington up there and trying to start that help out with Jed Fish and what he's doing out there. And, you know, it could be good too, because I'm sure he's going to be back in the league next year. And I don't know how, and I could be going against him. He could be in the NFC West. So it would have sucked if he came here and then he was going against us every week too. So that's stuff you got to be careful about. But I mean, he's the best. And I mean, I just like talking to him.
Kyle Shanahan offered Bill Belichick the defensive coordinator job.
I love it, and the reason I love it is that is a guy that's secure in his person. He's secure in his job. Some other coaches would have probably, you know, not done it just because they wouldn't have been able to sleep at night, but that tells me Kyle is running the show, Stani, and rightfully so. When you look at the last 5-6 years of what they've done here, he was like, you know what, Bill, I want you on the staff in any capacity because I'm not insecure, and I understand it. I come down Kyle's road for not having the bling, but at the end of the day, guys, there's not two other coaches I would take to run my team right now.
Yeah, I think he probably offered him the job knowing he was going to say no.
But what's that get him?
Look, it's
for me, guys like me to say, he's really trying to improve. Like, what's the gain in that, I guess I'm asking you?
Gives him the opportunity to say, I wanted Bill Belichick on my staff. That sounds good, but I mean, really? See, that's something that I'm a little more skeptical of. I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan's a bad guy or he's deceptive, but really? So you wanted to hire Bill Belichick as your defensive coordinator, knowing that if you don't win, he's waiting there to possibly become the head coach, and if you do win, he's probably going to steal some of your thunder.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see him ever really thinking Belichick was going to be a defensive coordinator.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I mean, Belichick's next job will be a head coach somewhere.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised it's taking this long. And I know he's got the young girlfriend keeping him occupied, but we'll see what happens. And mainly Dallas, too. I could see the hoodie there, but I would rather have the hoodie running my defense than this first-time coordinator. I mean, Wilkes, I don't know if we want to call it a success or not. I thought he took a lot of shade, but that team got to the Super Bowl and played pretty damn good, the defensive unit.
888-957-9570 is the number. You want to jump into the conversation. We're talking 49ers. We're talking Kyle Shanahan. He's entering year eight as head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And let me ask 49er fans this.
Right.
Do you feel like right now we're closer than we've ever been to settling on a long-term quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers? Do you think essentially Brock Purdy as the future of this franchise at quarterback is a fait accompli. What is there anything he can do that would lead you to believe he's not going to be that guy? And my question is, how important is this year for Brock Purdy? Is it make or break? That's the other thing I was thinking, Goo. If let's say you think Brock Purdy's a pretty good quarterback.
Okay.
Pretty good. But he, I don't want to say takes a step back, but let's say he doesn't improve as much as you hoped he would improve this year. At the same time, he's still a young quarterback. So bumps in the road are to be expected.
Yeah.
Is it unfair to Brock Purdy that, you know, if he experiences some bumps in the road in this upcoming season, that everything's tied to his contract extension?
I'm going to say yes, but when you say everything's tied, that means it's been great thus far. So the fall off or the regression would have to be, you know, it would be something that we could definitely see. But I want to flip this table over, Tim Jordan, Steiny, and the reason I want to do that is, Steiny, if your premise is correct, and maybe Kyle does have a wandering eye, what Tlaib, former NFL cornerback, just said, I thought was disrespectful the way he said it, real quarterback. But if you're right, at the end of the day, Kyle's not saying it to that degree, but if what Brock Purdy has done thus far is not good enough, at the end of the day, that's what Kyle was really thinking then.
I
you know, you get that. Like, he didn't say it that way, but by his actions, Kyle, if they are like, you're not worth 40 or 50, then at the end of the day, yeah, Tlaib said it in a harsher way, but Kyle deep down kind of felt that way. If he feels like Kirk Cousins at 40 or 50 would be more of a value than giving this guy 50 or 60. Just a thought I had.
I mean, one of the things about Kyle Shanahan that hits me is I never really know what he thinks about a quarterback. I mean, he talked like he liked Jimmy Garoppolo,
but he paid Jimmy and gave him opportunities. Now,
but
Jimmy's body broke down.
Right. He also gave him.
That.
He also put an out clause in virtually every year of his contract, so that they could get off him if they wanted to get off him. So I just don't. I don't know what to believe when I hear Kyle Shanahan talking about a quarterback. Because you know why? I heard him talk about Trey Lance, a guy who he obviously saw very little of, and yet believed in to such a degree that they moved up to number 3 in the draft to get him. And clearly he didn't end up liking Trey Lance. So here comes Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy starts out terrific, takes over the reins, can do everything that Jimmy can do and then some, but we still ran into a Super Bowl loss. I assume Kyle Shanahan likes Brock Purdy, and I'm sure he does, but the question is, how much does he like Brock Purdy?
So they're dating right now. And the mayor, we'll find out if he proposes to him at the end of this season.
Yeah, they've been going out for a year and a half. They got a good, solid relationship. And they're probably going to decide this year whether they want to get married. That's a good way to look at it. That's kind of the way I'm looking at
it. If they would have won the Super Bowl, that would have been they had kids.
I don't know. Yeah. See, I don't like
that. You don't think if they won that Super Bowl, Snotty, we'd be talking about this is a no-brainer. Just the power of that from a Brock Purdy standpoint of, in my second year, after wrecking my elbow, we got it done. What would the question then be?
I belong to the Steph Curry school of things change quickly. And I'm still to this day not convinced that if the 49ers would have won their first Super Bowl, that Kyle Shanahan would have made Jimmy Garoppolo the franchise quarterback. Now, I could be wrong, but that's just the way I look at it. The other thing is, if Brock Purdy won a Super Bowl last year, they still wouldn't have to pay him right now.
No doubt.
So he's got to play this year, even though he has a Super Bowl ring. What if he'd regress after a Super Bowl season? I think what I'm starting to come around to is Brock Purdy's going to get paid what the 49ers think he's worth at the end of this season. And it's nice that he's had a couple good years, but this is literally the money year for him.
Wow.
That's kind of the way I look at it, but I don't know. How do 49er fans look at it? Do you think this is a formality that Brock Purdy is going to be the man here under Kyle Shanahan? I want to play some more Shanahan because this one's kind of interesting because it's something Guru has talked about a lot, and it's the comparison between Shanahan and Andy Reid. So I'm looking at number 98, Spadone. Shanahan was asked how he'd feel if it took him 21 years to win a Super Bowl. Take a listen.
Hell yeah, it'd be lots of weight, but I don't look at it that way totally. Like, I looked at it that way when I was my dad's son, and I was counting his Super Bowls and just worried about where he was ranked and like things like that. But when you're coaching, you don't really think about that stuff. You just coach, and you come down to these games, and you know everything that happened in the game, and like you know how fine a line it is. It's what's so hard about our business. That's why I spend the offseason totally differently than the season, because I know the mental strain. I know how hard you have to work to beat a bad team. I know how many variables there are when it's not a game, 7-game series. I know so much stuff that goes into that there's nothing I want to do more than win a Super Bowl. I mean, that does consume me to a degree. But it's not something where I watch other people and be like, okay, he did it then. I can, like, there's so many different ways. And yeah, I believe that we should have already won two. I actually think we should have won three because I think we should have been there in another one. And you want to know why you lost. And you go back to certain plays and you go back to certain situations and you're just like, you have to be the best you can be on that given day, whatever it is, whoever you're playing. And as a coach, it's not a boxing match. It's your job to get your team the best it can be. You hope you're in an organization to where you guys are trying to go for it every year, which is what I mean by free agency, spending the salary cap, making those right decisions. And that's the stuff I think about, like, all right, I need to get away. This was hard. But now when I come back, do we have a shot? How are we attacking free agency? What is our roster? All right, what's our schedule? How do I get these guys ready? How do we keep them healthy? That's the stuff that consumes me. I've never looked at another coach and thought of when he's done it. If I have to wait that long, who knows if I'll be alive? You know, I've said that quote before.
Yes. Famous quote.
Which just made me nervous. It gets me in trouble when I say that quote. If I did worry about that stuff, I would never make it that long. And the fact that I don't makes me believe that I'm going to keep doing what I love doing until no one wants me. And then if I've made enough money that I can just go enjoy life after that.
Wow, interesting, man. If you told me I could go get in the Cadillac and just drive home and not do the rest of the show, I would do it. And the thought on the ride home would be as I look out the window, it's this beautiful Bay Area weather, is I know Kyle Shanahan. Like, that's all it's about. That's it. He's owning it, the moment, and it consumes him, and he wants to win, Stoney. But I appreciate not burying your head in the sand. And my man said we shouldn't have won two, Stoney. We should have won three because we should have been in it. I just melt hearing that, man.
You melt hearing that a coach pours his heart and soul into the job?
Well,
every coach do that?
Yeah, but I just appreciate looking at the shortcomings and owning the moment.
Well, I'll tell you what I heard.
They should have had it done. I do appreciate that.
I'll tell you what I heard. I heard a guy who, you're right, puts a lot of pressure on himself and thinks about this all the time. But I also hear a guy who is absolutely positively disregarding of any fan criticism, of any criticism from the media and things like that.
We would hope that you have that mechanism.
Well, then, if he has that mechanism, then we got to quit saying there's pressure on him.
Well, he's putting pressure on
himself. Right, but there's no outside pressure. Like, the fan, like, when we saw the fans are doing, the fans want one. He doesn't care about that. Like, that doesn't impact him. That doesn't influence him. He does not care about outside noise at all. And so I always feel like when we say, well, the noise is going to get loud then, and if they start 3-5, he's going to start. No, I don't think that's who he is. I really don't. I think he is completely closed off in a lot of ways from criticism, and either he purposely goes out of his way to never hear it, or it truly does not bother him one iota. So, you know, the whole issue of pressure, I always think, is interesting, but I don't feel he feels any pressure from anybody other than himself.
Yeah, no, and that's enough in itself right there from himself. He's tapping into it. That's what I appreciate. You never can have a relationship or feel the burden of a million fans, but what was beautiful about that soundbite is, Steiny, that's enough. That inner pressure is enough. And he was talking about looking at it through the prism of his daddy's career, hoping at the end he would get it done. But I guess his own pressure is enough for me to let me know that this is something he's trying to do.
888-957-9570 is the number. Matt Steinmetz, Darryl the Guru Johnson with you from Santa Clara. The 49ers' first day of training camp is today. Football season is here. We're loving it. And here's some little tidbits. Brandon Ayuk is here. He reported, but he is not practicing. He is not practicing. He's on the sidelines, and he's not in uniform. Trent Williams is also not here, and hopefully we'll find out more about why that's the case a little later in the show. We're going to be joined by Bonte Hill. He is at practice right now, so when practice is over, he's going to make his way here to the Hilton Santa Clara and give us the lowdown on what happened. And also, if you're just joining us, some interesting Steph Curry news. Steph Curry talked to Mark Spears of Anscape, and he talked about his future with the Golden State Warriors. And I don't know, you tell me how dramatic you think the quote was. But at the end of it, Steph Curry was talking about what will be the determining factor, whether he retires a Warrior or not. And he said, this is Steph Curry, let's put it this way. It's a long-winded way of saying that if it's a situation where you're a bottom feeder and it's just because you want to stay there, I would have a hard time with that. But I don't think that's going to be the reality. So Steph Curry essentially said before that, look, I want this team to remain competitive. I want this team to have a puncher's chance at a title. And as long as I feel like we got a shot, I want to be here and I want to retire a Warrior. But we become a bottom feeder and all bets are off. Then I'm open to whatever, whenever you want to talk about doing things.
You know, and what frightens me about that soundbite, Steiny, is I don't feel like they're at the top. So what I took and startles me is the bottom feeder. Because, yeah, you can hit me with 46 wins. The bottom line is when all the stars were playing and the playoffs were going, the Warriors were not on our television. So for him to come up with the line bottom feeders leads me to believe that's how he felt last year was for his Warrior team.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
I don't know what he considers.
Bottom feeder.
I don't know what he considers a bottom feeder, quite frankly.
But he brought it up.
Warriors, of course, won 46 games a year ago, but didn't make the playoffs. Does he feel like they're knocking on the door to being as competitive as he wants them to be? I don't know, but we can talk about it all. 888-957-9570 is the number. Some big, big news around the Bay Area regarding the 49ers, regarding what Steph Curry talked about with Mark Spears. And we're having a lot of fun down here at the Hilton Santa Clara. And don't forget, you can stop down here to the Hilton Santa Clara. There's a tailgate that starts at 4 p.m. for the Rexon-Chelsea game. That's right. Rexon's playing Chelsea at Levi Stadium. We got food here from the tailgate truck, your favorite ice-cold beers. Top Bay Area DJs are providing music. It all starts 3 hours before tonight's soccer game, which means it starts at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, and it'll also be going on 1 hour after the game. The Hilton Santa Clara not only getting ready for tonight's soccer game, but we're gearing up for a 49er season where home games at Levi Stadium,
yeah,
they start here. They start here. By the way, I would like to shout out San Jose Jazz fan and Heidi. Heidi came by Guru and said hello with us.
She did.
Said hello to us, took a photo with us. We really appreciate those guys coming down and having a lot of fun. having a lot of fun right here talking 49er football.
Where's Trent Williams? I'm serious, man. Where's he at, Stein? No guaranteed money on his deal, and you pull this?
That's a great question. Hopefully we find out where Trent Williams is.
All right.
Before the end of the show, okay. I think we will.
All right.
One person we know who's not practicing is Ricky Pearsall. He's got a hamstring issue. Looks like he's going to miss the first 4 days of practice, which means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 49ers will take Sunday off, and they hope that Ricky Pearsall, their first-round pick, is ready to go on Monday. How that all impacts Brandon Ayuk, we shall see. 888-957-9570 if you want to jump into the conversation. You know we always love to have you. And don't forget, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply today or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.